during the time of Noah, before, and there was a time of the flood, they were committing idolatry. And this is mentioned really in Genesis 4:26, okay, where it says that the verse says, and to Seth also was born a son, and his name was Enosh. And was the Enosh was that period of Enosh was a period of idolatry, and it says then it became profane to call in the name of God, which means idolatry. Okay, so that's when profanity began, and that's when the idols began. So there was idolatry before Noah. Okay, let me see. Okay, so let us. Does that answer the question? Any other question on that? That's a pretty open verse there. And
the translation that we have doesn't translate it that way. It just said in those days people began to invoke the name of God, and it uses the four-letter name there.
Right. But in our interpretation, the word huchal,
okay?
If you take a look at Rashi, you'll see the word huchal means to remove the sanctity from. The word chulin, removal of sanctity.
Okay.
It was, okay?
Okay. You may proceed then. Thank you.
Okay. Let me continue then, and let me go back to. By the way, we'll see that there is when we go further in the Talmud, there are other references to the fact that there was idolatry in the time of Noah before the flood. All right, but it is not really hard to believe, because idolatry is very much a part of human nature, and it's a giving into a component of human nature. So it would stand to reason that it would exist before also. But we'll see. There are other references to the fact that there was idolatry in the time of the generation of the flood. Now, what I'd like to continue with is more on the. On the kosher and non-kosher and the eating halachos, because I think that they're interesting, and I think they're important to have a good grasp of. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take when you study Talmud, there's a big mistake a lot of people make. They think that it's like reading a book. Start from page one, then you go page five, page ten, you progress. All right, in Talmud it does not work that way. Because the Talmud is really a discussion of the scholars. There is no page 1, there's no page 10, and there's no page 50. Because in the Talmud, is a record of the discussions of the scholars, and every scholar knew every other piece of Talmud. All right? So there is no place that you can start from. That's what's good about Talmud, and that's why Talmud slips from one subject to another, just goes up and back, because they're taking the whole system and juggling it around when they have these discussions, and they're assuming that everything else is not, all right? So it's different than any other book. It's one of the problems of reading Talmud. You cannot approach it as you would an ordinary book. It's not. It's discussions of scholars who have at their fingertips every verse in the Torah, every Mishnah, okay, and the concepts and ideas behind it. Now these guys, they're discussing it. So they're throwing around everything. You got to know everything. It does not follow. It's not a didactic kind of work. Okay, that's why it jumps from one subject to another, and that's why there is no order. And I'm going to jump now to another tractate. All right, but it's part of this this concept, and I think that it's appropriate here. Okay, I'm in now in tractate Avodah Zarah. That's a tractate that deals with idolatry, and it is on page 64b. All right, now we have an interesting discussion here. The question is a question with regard to Ger Toshav. Now, that's a phrase I think everybody's familiar with. It means the non-Jew that joins the Jew in the land of Israel, all right, and has a right to live there, okay, provided he complies with certain with requirements. Now, the question is, what are those requirements? And, of course, everyone's thinking the requirement is that he must accept the seven laws of Noah. That is correct. That is the way the halacha has decided. But there were two other opinions that we don't hold by. The halachic system did not decide in their favor. But nevertheless, they were opinions of great men. And I'm going to bring in those other two opinions right now, and I think you'll find them interesting. Okay. One opinion is, all he has to do to be the Ger Toshav is simply deny and accept upon himself not to worship idols. In other words, giving up of idolatry. That's all. That's one opinion. If he does that, fine. Then he has a right to dwell in the land. That's one opinion. Now, that's one side of the spectrum. Now, there's another opinion that goes all the way to the other side of the spectrum. All right? The seven laws, the position that we maintain, that we hold by, that is the position that the Ger Toshav, that's not enough if he just denies idolatry. He's got to accept the seven laws. Okay. But there was another position which was even more, okay, more so to speak, to the right. Okay? And that position was that the Ger Toshav accepts upon himself to keep every mitzvah in the Torah. All right? Because the Sabbath is a question. According to Rashi, it includes the Sabbath as well. But the Ger Toshav has a right to keep the Sabbath. But I'm not going to get into that now. Okay. There's no Ger Toshav status until we get the Third Temple. So that's when that debate is going to have to take place. So it's not practical at this point. But so let's say with the exclusion of the Sabbath at this point, okay? So, because that's the way most learn, all right? Now, but it says he accepts upon himself to keep every law that's written in the Torah. It means on a voluntary basis, of course. But he accepts it. In other words, he says he's going to do these laws, every law, basically. He will be putting on phylacteries. He's going to, taking the lulav and the sit in the dwell in the sukkah, okay? But there's one that he will not accept. And he does not have to accept and cannot accept, actually, and that is he will eat nevela. Okay. Now, what does the word nevela mean? All right? We find it in the Torah, in the Bible itself, and here it's in, I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's one place. I'm giving you one place that's in. It's in Deuteronomy 14:20. All right? It says, you shall not eat any nevela. Now, I don't know what your translation is, but I have never seen a correct one on this word. My translation, which is the Jerusalem Bible, says, you shall not eat anything that dies of itself. Okay, that's not correct. I don't know what you have. Carrion? You probably have, I don't know what the King James have. They do not have one. But the carrion would be wrong, if that's what it has. I imagine that's what it would say. An animal that dies of itself is not correct either. What it means is the word nevela means any animal that dies through any other process than slaughtering, kosher slaughtering, shechita. Okay? That's what the word nevela means. So the Torah says you shall not eat any animal that dies through any other means besides slaughtering. Okay. Now, just as a as an aside, but I think it's something which we should be aware of. Where in the Torah does it say that you have to slaughter an animal and any or kill an animal in any specific way? Is there any reference to this in the Torah? Okay, there is a reference in the Torah. The reference in the Torah is found in Deuteronomy 12, all right? Deuteronomy 12, verse 21. Okay. Now, we had mentioned it before, by the way. Verse 20. Take a look at the verse 20. It says like this. It says, when God will expand your boundaries as he has spoken to you, in other words, you won't be close to the Mishkan or the Mikdash, the temple, and they're going to say that I'm going to eat flesh because you will desire to eat flesh. And that's where the rabbis say that, why did the Torah say, because you will desire to eat flesh? Because the Torah is parenthetically teaching a person that he should not be a glutton. And that meat is something which is should be eaten rarely, when you really have a desire for it. A person has a need, he has a desire, it's okay for him to enjoy himself. But as a matter of fact, that's what it says. It says, you shall eat it with all the desire of your heart. Which means it's fine to enjoy oneself, but not to be a glutton. So wait till that desire comes, and once you have that desire, then enjoy yourself. But don't make it an everyday occurrence. That's teaching a person a way of life. All right, it's not one of the 613, but it is parenthetically the Torah does offer a person not only laws but also guidance insofar as his personal habits are concerned, and teaches him how to get closer to God and to perfect himself and remove himself more from the slavery to the physical desires. Okay, now we have verse 21. It says when the place that God will choose will be removed from you, so you cannot bring an animal to the temple, in other words, and eat the shlamim as a sacrifice, and then eat from the sacrifice, because you're removed, it'll take too long to travel there. So God says, then you shall slaughter, or use the word vizavachta, you shall slaughter, I'll just leave it blank, in other words, kill, slaughter, whatever. It says, from your oxen and from your sheep, which God gave you, and then it says two interesting words, as he has commanded you. All right? Now, what does that mean? You should kill the animal as he has commanded you. Okay? That as he has commanded you makes no sense. There's no command to slaughter animals. I could be a vegetarian and never violate any law of the Torah. There's no such law that you have to slaughter animals. So the oral law explains this, and it's the only explanation. That is, that God commanded somewhere else about how to kill animals, okay? Where did God command man about the killing of animals? The answer is very simple, if you remember your Bible. It's in Leviticus. In Leviticus, you have chapter after chapter about the animal sacrifices, and there it uses a very specific word. The word is vishachat, okay? That's what we call shechita or shochet. I'm sure you may have seen it in the press, shochet, S-C-H-O-C-H-E-T, okay? So there you have an unusual word, shochet. When the Bible wants to tell you about killing an animal, which it does mention in Leviticus, it uses a different word, just to kill it, taharogu, harog, means to kill. But in Leviticus, where it speaks about the animal, where it speaks about the animal for the sacrifice, there it uses a specific word of shochat, okay? Not kill, but shochat. What is shochat? So here we see the Torah in Deuteronomy is saying, when you want to kill this animal because you want to eat meat, and you kill him the way I commanded you. So here we see that there was a special command of killing with regard to the sacrifices. It wasn't just any kind of way you wished. It was that shochat, very specific. And that is the source in the Torah for the fact that an animal must be slaughtered in a specific way. All right. What the specific way is, that is in the that we have carried down through the oral tradition, and the basics of what it is, there's no debate among the scholars on that. So that came down straight and precise with regard to how it should be done. So now we have this this law of a special way of killing of shochat for the Ben Israel. Now, anything outside that method, any animal that dies through any other method than the shochat, the shechita, the method that I mentioned before, which says, as God commanded you, any other method which causes the death of the animal, whether it's stoning, stabbing, choking, whatever it might be, electrocuting, any method outside of that method, all right, lethal injection, anything you can think of, would be nevelah, okay, that word. Now, the Torah says in Deuteronomy 12, we mentioned before, that you shall not eat, Deuteronomy 14:20, you shall not eat any nevelah. However, it says over there in that same verse that if you have a nevelah, for instance, if the shochet slips and doesn't do a proper job, so the method of killing is disqualified and is not kosher, so it says that you are obligated here to give it to the ger toshav, or you could sell it to the stranger, but the ger toshav, you should give it as a gift because you are obligated to support the ger toshav, since he is a fellow citizen in the land. So so over here we see clearly that the ger toshav eats the nevelah. Now, my question is like this. Why cannot the Ger Toshav, accept upon himself. Since he can accept every other commandment of the Torah, why can he not accept upon himself the fact that he's only going to eat meat that's slaughtered according to the laws, according to the kosher laws? Okay? He can accept upon himself not to eat pig, not to eat horse, not to eat the unclean animals. He has a right to accept that upon himself. As a matter of fact, according to this view, he has to. He can't live in the land unless he accepts everything, which would be that as well. Okay? So that even though we don't hold by that view, there was such a view. But the view made sense, all right? Because according to that view, the concept was you cannot have a citizen who is not... You see, the three views can be understood as follows. The first view maintains the only thing is there can't be idolatry in the land of Israel. So as long as he's not an idolater, we don't care what he does. Fine. The second one is it's not enough. It's not simply a matter of removal of idolatry. It's a matter of having a person living by the same system. In other words, the system of Sinai. But there are two divisions in that system, but he has to be part of the system, so he must accept the seven laws. All right? That's the accepted view. But the third view was that's not enough. If he's going to live in the land, he's got to practice every one of the commandments. We can't have people in the land practicing, not practicing the laws. That would be beneficial to the Ben Israel, who would see actions being done constantly that are not within his frame of obligation. Okay, that's this position. We don't hold by that position, but that was the position that was maintained. Nevertheless, even a position, the Ger Toshav could not accept upon himself the ritual slaughter. And the question is, my question is, why not? Why can't he accept that? If he could do everything else, why can he not do that? It's not, there's a logical halachic reason for this. It's not a discriminatory reason, because on the contrary, he could do everything else. He could do more important things than that, all right? So why should he not be permitted to keep the kosher laws? Why can he not keep the kosher laws? Does anybody, if anybody has the answer to this one, I would be extremely pleasantly surprised. Anybody? It's not easy. I'm not...
With the kosher laws not being accepted, the kosher laws are one of the things that separated Israel from the rest of the nations.
There are a lot of things separated the rest of the nations, and certainly the types of the species of animals that one eats does separate, but that the Ger Toshav can accept upon us. He's supposed to accept upon himself, according to this view. He's not supposed to eat any of the other animals.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as species are concerned, he's in there. He's accepting everything, but this one he can't accept. The reason is based upon what I told you, I believe, a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I mentioned to you that there is one strange case, and that is with regard to both Ben Israel and Ben Noah have the same restriction. They're not permitted to remove the limb of a living creature for a purpose of eating. But there is a difference. And I mentioned to you that if the animal is slaughtered ritually and the animal is still heaving, is still breathing, so there the Ben Noah has a more serious law than the Ben Israel. He cannot take a piece of flesh off that animal and eat it, okay, while it is still alive, until it dies. Whereas the Ben Israel at that moment can. That's when somebody asked me about the blood, and I mentioned raw flesh, there's no violation of eating blood. The violation of eating blood is only blood that has been drained or moved from its source, okay? But the blood that's part of the meat, there's no violation on that. And that can be understood because the idolaters would only use blood, drained blood. They wouldn't use... And one of the reasons for blood is the violation is to remove one from the idolatry. And the idolaters wouldn't use meat. They would use the blood drained out of the meat. So it's only drained blood that's prohibited. But blood in a piece of meat, if you eat a piece of meat and there's blood in it raw, the Ben Israel is allowed to eat that. It does not have to salt it. Okay. So I mentioned that the Ben Israel at that point, technically, while nobody would do this, we still have to know what God's law is. We have to understand the law. The law is the Ben Israel would be permitted at that point, right after the severing of the esophagus and the trachea, so he'd be permitted immediately to take the meat, whereas the Ben Noach cannot at that point. Why can the Ben Noach not do it? And the answer is because for the Ben Noach, we go back to the system of Noah, which we mentioned before, and that is that he cannot exercise any control over an animal while it is alive, all right? Now, for the Ben Noah, it's still alive. All right? Since ritual slaughter is not his method, his determinant is death. So the animal, if there is a moment gap between the slaughtering and between the death, let's say there's a 1 minute time interval, so then Ben Noah still doesn't have his permit yet, because the animal still is technically alive. All right? It's a very short span, and it's only theoretical, but it's important to understand it. So during that moment, that gap over there, for the Ben Noah, he is not permitted to eat it, because death is what gives him the permit. Of course, it's still a living animal. Whereas the Ben Israel was given a specific method of slaughter. And for him, the moment the incision is made on the throat with the sharp blade of the shochet, then it becomes permissible to him. All right. So that is why the Ben Noach, the Ger Toshav, cannot accept upon himself to eat slaughtered meat. For him, the institution of slaughtering is not the permit. The permit is the death. Okay. As a matter of fact, if I'll give you an example, let us say, for instance, a chicken. I've noticed that when they kill a chicken, that a chicken can jump around for a while. All right. I think more than other animals. Now, if the chicken, right after its throat is slit, is dismembered, then the Ben Noach would not be permitted to eat that, because it was dismembered while it was still moving, all right? Whereas for the Ben Israel, it makes no difference, because it was slaughtered. And the moment it's slaughtered, that's the permit. The permit is, as I have commanded you, as it says in Deuteronomy. All right? So therefore, if a Ben Noach cannot accept upon himself something which would bring him into prohibition against his own system, okay? So that's why it is possible that meat should be kosher for a Ben Israel and not kosher for a Ben Noah, which is something, if you told somebody that, they would be astounded. They wouldn't believe you. It sounds crazy. But the word kosher just means right, all right? It doesn't mean, I know I got to meet a lot of things, but it means basically appropriate. So the here is a case where you could have a chicken, all right, all boxed and everything, and for the Ben Israel it would be permissible. For Ben Noah it would not be permissible, because it was dismembered before it actually died. So kosher meat for the Ben Israel is not the same kosher meat for the Ben Noah. In this case, the Ben Noah's restriction is greater, all right?
Rabbi?
Because it's a different system. Yes.
Rabbi Katz taught us when he was teaching along these similar lines,
okay.
And he used the example of a chicken and other animals also.
Okay.
And I stand to be corrected on this, but I think that he checked with some of the slaughterhouses.
Okay.
And what his conclusion was that when the animals are slaughtered, they're disemboweled almost immediately.
Okay.
And their heart is still beating. And sometimes, and that, of course, as the heart beats, the blood is circulating through the liver.
Correct.
All right. That the carcass itself was legally dead, but since the blood was still flowing through the liver, that it would not be acceptable to eat the liver of those animals.
That makes perfect sense.
All right. And,
that makes perfect sense.
Okay. So.
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
That's correct. So. No, that is correct. And the reasoning is because in the Ben Noach system, the law of removing a living limb from a living animal is because he cannot exercise any control over the animal as long as it is alive. And that's why it's a different system. That's the only case. That's why the Ger Toshav can accept everything, but he cannot accept upon himself the laws of kosher slaughtering. For him, it doesn't apply. It doesn't mean he cannot eat slaughtered meat. That is possible if the animal dies, as David mentions. But that is the reason for that particular view in the tractate of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Now, let us see. I think we're going to have to stop over here, because we will not have enough time get into the next... the next part of the... How much time we got left? Yeah, does anybody have any questions? I think on my watch, I think we have about 3-4 minutes
right,
left.
One question, and this can just be a simple one. You won't have to take the full time on it. The question is a chicken considered an animal, is a fowl considered an animal or aquatic? Animals are considered mammals. So is, the chicken, would it be in the aquatic realm or the animal kingdom?
That is a good question. Let me look into that for next time, okay?
Okay.
As far as the Ben Noach is concerned.
Right.
You mean as far as the removing the limb?
Right.
Let me check that.
So if it come from the aquatic, it would be dead as soon as you took it out of the water, according to Alaka.
Well, the only thing is that the...
it's air breathing.
The chicken, as far as slaughtering is concerned, requires slaughtering.
Okay.
Requires slaughtering. I am pretty sure that insofar as let me just want to look for an exact source on that.
Okay. That'll be a good one then.
Okay. Now, the only problem I have is next week I'm not going to be here.
Okay. All right. Well,